This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good evening, Bahamas. This is Dr. Gregory Pinto, Bahamian urologist, and this is the launch of the radio show, The Urologist Speaks, and I'm very happy to announce that this is going to be a weekly show from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9, streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas channel 96969 or on BTC Flow channel 612. You can also text us on the Guardian Radio text line on 46, which is 422-4796, which is powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. Or you can feel free to call us at 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 326-4259. Or toll-free from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. My guest host today is the esteemed general surgeon and surgical oncologist, Dr. Wesley Francis. Good evening, and thank you for being here, Dr. Wesley Francis. I'm sure a lot of our viewers don't really know what a surgical oncologist does. Maybe you can give some insight.
Well, first of all, good evening, Bahamas, and I'm really happy to be here on this momentous occasion for the launch of the Urology Speaks, the Urologist Speaks, and I'm here to support my brother, Gregory Pinto, as he launched this show, which I think is going to be very informative to Bahamians, men and women on a whole. And who am I? I am a surgical oncologist. And I mainly deal with cancer, breast, colon, liver, pancreas, skin, and those are the things from the surgical aspect that I deal with. And I'm just happy to be here today to support my brother. I'm here in a supportive role. And Greg, thank you for this. And I'm sure that the listenership is going to be excited about all the things we're going to talk about today.
Well, thank you for coming. This is basically just a public awareness campaign. We're trying to improve the health of the nation is the wealth of the nation. So we're trying to combat particularly non-communicable diseases that are a pandemic in themselves. The reality is we're a very unhealthy nation. So we're trying to, let's shift the paradigm. Let's reduce the amount of obesity, hypertension, diabetes, coronary artery disease. Let's start from early. Let's be proactive, preventive. Let's not be reactionary. Let's make sure that we start from the young. I think the number one thing we need to start with, let's combat childhood obesity. Let's prevent young men and women from becoming obese, from developing diabetes, from developing unhealthy living habits and diet, preventing them from developing and staying in a sedentary lifestyle their whole life. And then I think eventually we can, in the next generation, improve the quality of health for the entire nation. So it's going to be a momentous task, and I would like to use this medium to invite as many of my colleagues as possible. We have all the specialists in this country, in every medical specialty, whether it's the gynecologists, the pediatricians, radiologists, ENT surgeons, etc., physiotherapists, occupational therapists. We also want to highlight mental health. There's not enough spotlight on the emotional well-being of our nation, particularly our young persons. There are too many young people, because of one incident, one rash event, that they're sitting up in Fox Hill or they're walking around with an ankle bracelet. Let's address too many people bottling up their anger, not finding a way to deal with it, and it's almost as if they're dealing with something in shame, when one of us deals with emotional upheavals and now and then, and we need to know that we can support one another. The answer is not to seek solace in a bottle and go and drink and drive and be a menace, or to go home and be a menace and emotionally or psychologically or physically assault our loved ones. Let's be open about our mental health as well as our physical health. So because Dr. Francis is here, I think it's an opportune moment for us to talk about what is also a very important topic, and that's colon cancer and breast cancer. And I think a lot of us hear about, and we all know members of our family, friends, relatives, colleagues who have been afflicted with breast cancer in particular. Let's start with that topic. Why, Dr. Francis, do we have so many incidences of breast cancer, and why so many incidences of breast cancer in women under 40?
Well, Greg, that's a good question. And so breast cancer is really a disease of older women. And in an average risk society, a woman would have a 11 to 12% risk of developing breast cancer overall. And again, that's over the course of her life. As she gets older, there's a risk. One of the things that I want to say is that we don't prevent breast cancer. It's important to understand that we try to early detect, early detection, and that's why we do screening. In our society, what that older age group is kind of pushed to younger people, and that's really because I think we have, and in our community, there's this gene. We have a genetic mutation called the BRCA gene, which then causes younger women to present with a different type of breast cancer. It's not the garden variety of breast cancer. But the BRCA gene, it is something that is in our community, it's more of the community. But it not only leads to breasts, and in your field also, in your area, prostate, there's a BRCA1 gene and a BRCA2 gene. BRCA1 really causes more breast cancer. Your lifetime risk is about 80-85%. But there's a BRCA2 gene. But then that also causes men. And this is something that you can speak more about than I can. But more men can develop prostate cancer. And as I'm sure you've said many times, prostate cancer tend to be a little more aggressive in our community, more younger people. So there's a correlation between BRCA2 gene within the community with breast cancer and also with prostate cancer. And you could probably highlight information related to that.
Yeah, of course. I think a lot of our audience are not aware that men can actually inherit, and they do have the BRCA gene. So it's not the actual gene that's the issue. It's a mutation in the gene. So we can think of BRCA gene as a gene suppressor. So it suppresses us from getting cancer. When there's a mutation, it doesn't allow us to repair our DNA. So there's always breakdown of cells, there's always a DNA replication. But sometimes when you have differentiation of cells that's goes awry, we can have repair when you have a gene suppressor. But when you have such as BRCA gene type 1 in prostate cancer, you have a 3.9 times greater chance of getting prostate cancer in your lifetime. And for BRCA gene 2, it's 8.6. So you're almost inevitably going to get prostate cancer by the age of 70. So for those individuals or those families that have the BRCA gene mutation, we need to be very diligent in picking up breast cancer, pancreatic cancer, ovarian cancer, skin cancer, so that we can give them an excellent cure. So the tragedy for me is that prostate cancer is probably picked up early, and you can't say that about other cancers. You don't even necessarily need your prostate removed to cure you of prostate cancer. If we pick up prostate cancer early, when it's early disease, organ-confined disease, your chance of survival at 5 years is nearing 100%. At 10 years, is nearing 97%. So it's a very survivable disease. But every single week, at least one or two men in this country are dying a tragic death. And it's a very tragic death of prostate cancer when it could have been prevented. So these are men that one day are the breadwinner to their family, and then the next they're a financial burden, they're an emotional burden to their wife, to their spouse, their grandkids, their nieces, their nephews. All of a sudden, they become the burden financially from being the breadwinner to the burden. And prostate cancer, if you have advanced disease, is not going to be a quick death. It's going to be a prolonged, inevitable death where men don't want to see a doctor. They don't want to get a blood taken, but they're going to be in and out of hospital, in and out of emergency room, and it's a tragedy.
So, Greg, what do you think? I mean, we know prostate cancer could be a very indolent disease. I mean, it's something that, you know, people don't have to suffer or die if it gets treated early. But what we do see is people come with advanced disease. What do you think we're doing wrong? Why is it that there's so much advanced disease? People presenting with advanced disease with prostate. I mean, I have ideas about what breast and stuff like that, but what's happening with prostate? It's such an indolent disease. It's such a disease that's treatable. But we come when, really, I mean, you can't really do much for patients, and that's what we're seeing. Tell us more about that.
I mean, information is key, and early detection is key. As I mentioned, you can get 100% cure rate if you pick it up. Misunderstanding, a lot of misinformation. Bahamian men, and I've said this many times openly, the most important organ to them, obviously, is their male organ. So a lot of them would rather lose their entire colon and then be able to rise. So there's this correlation in the community that if you get prostate cancer, you're going to be on a urinary bag the rest of your life, your erections are gone out the window, your life is over. That is an internal death that they replay in their mind because of their grandfather or their great-grandfather or their granduncle or their uncle, and they've seen that. But that should be a motivation for them to get prostate cancer picked up early, because the opposite is true. If we can pick up prostate cancer early, you can maintain your erections at a very good rate. You can maintain your quality of life in terms of your urinary continence without having urgency and frequency. It can be a little bump in the road where we can treat you on a weekend. You can literally be back to work during the week. No one even needs to know you went through any treatment, because it's minimally invasive, and there's so many things that can be done to treat prostate cancer, which I'll get into. But then we talk about the dreaded DRE and the correlation, particularly for black men, or not just in this society but around the world, with homophobic connotations. But I've said openly, and literature has supported that, protocols around the world have supported that there's little to no role with just routine screening and using the digital rectal exam for prostate cancer, because there's a lot of misunderstanding as well. Because early prostate cancer, and that's what we're trying to pick up, the digital rectal exam feels completely normal. And what are we feeling when we're feeling for the digital rectal exam? First of all, it's very subjective. One urologist, one physician will feel like something's abnormal. And just because you feel something abnormal doesn't mean that there's prostate cancer. But all we're feeling is prostate, where the middle part and the front part we're not even feeling. So obviously, there could be prostate cancer in another part of the prostate that we're not even feeling. And all that's going to do is cause tens of thousands of Bahamian men and Bahamian residents to never seek prostate cancer screening, when all you need is a PSA, prostate-specific antigen blood test, every year from the age of 40. And I mean every year, up to at least the age of 70, and then we can even extend it to the age of 75.
So, Greg, you know, here's the thing. There's such a thing called a social determinants of health, and education is very important to that. Can you speak to the role of education, you know, educating our young men from early, giving them the correct information? Because, again, this is really an indolent disease, and it's very common among men. I've heard you say 1 in 4, 1 in 6 men. Prostate cancer is more common than breast cancer.
It's the most common cancer in this country.
So, yes. And again, if we educate men to know that, listen, this is something serious, and all it is that, you know, with education, you can prevent these things from going on. Because it's really, you're trying to, again, do the early detection. And you speak about the PSA. Are there any other ways or new technologies that are out there that can help?
I mean, we even have urine RNA tests that can pick up prostate cancer even 5 years before it becomes clinically significant. Imaging is very important. There have been leaps and bounds over the last several decades in terms of imaging for prostate cancer. So let's say 25 years ago, anyone had a PSA blood test that was abnormal, automatically we would just rush and do a biopsy, which is not a pleasant experience. I'll be upfront. I personally, my patient is consciously sedated or under general anesthesia because I wouldn't want to go through that ordeal myself. But essentially, MRI and PSMA PET CT scan have revolutionized not only screening but surveillance and treatment for prostate cancer, where anytime you have an abnormal PSA blood test, and abnormal can also include having a blood test that's also in the normal range, but there's been a high velocity, which was over time, there's been a significant change. So a PSA, quote unquote, normal is less than 4. Let's say it was 2 last year, and now all of a sudden it's 3.6. Per se, it's still normal, but that's a big jump from 1 year to the next. That can indicate possible prostate cancer. So you can have about 20% of men who have prostate cancer actually have a normal PSA. That's why it's important to get a baseline PSA at the age of 40, and then every year after that, so we can compare one value with the next. But PSA is not a very specific or sensitive test. It can be elevated for many things. It can be elevated for inflammation of the prostate, infection, incomplete bladder emptying. It could also be elevated because of a very big but normal prostate. And BPH, benign prostate hyperplasia, is an inevitable part of getting older, which every man who's blessed with advanced age is going to experience.
So how expensive is a PSA? I mean, like, what is a out-of-pocket cost for someone who's not insured or someone who feels like, boy, you know, this is maybe a difficult to achieve? I mean, is it that expensive to get?
That's why we have NHI. The government has done a wonderful job of providing NHI, and annual physicals, which include doing a PSA, are completely free of cost.
So how do we get men to enroll more in NHI? I mean, at age 40, because NHI, every resident of Bahamas has access to a family doctor and can get this PSA. So we make all this access available. It's available, but it's not being, people are not utilizing it. So what can we do, to make that happen?
I think it's fair, and I think a lot of women who love the men in their life, they're the ones that we need to speak to drag them in and to get them to come every year. So it doesn't suffice to come once, and then you're not going to come again for another 5 years, but you have time for everything else. You need to make time for your health, your body, your longevity. What's the point of working so hard if you're not going to see your twilight years and you enjoy the fruits of your labor? Enjoy those golden years with your wife. Enjoy seeing your great-grandchildren, your grandchild graduating from college. Be there for them. Even if you have to love yourself, but obviously a lot of men, I've heard it too many times, when it's my time, it's my time. Don't be selfish. Be there for your family.
Yeah, and I think men in general, men understand prevention and maintenance, right? They do it for their cars all the time. But they don't do it on their own bodies. And I think this is something that we need to emphasize, education and screening. And I think we need to continue to encourage that.
I know we've said a lot. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk about a very popular topic, which a lot of people in the public have asked me to highlight, and that's erectile dysfunction. You can always rise again.
jump in your Japanese import and you turn the radio on, all you hear is... For the month of September, the hits your Japanese import for the discounted rate of only $79.99, VAT included. Get your band expander installed today at the Hit Spot and listen to
Star 106.5.
Plus, get fresh news and smart talk on
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
You try to rest, roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to The Urologist Speaks with Dr. Gregory Pinto and my co-host, Dr. Wesley Francis. As I mentioned, we're going to speak about the all-popular topic and ones who love them want to hear about, and that's erectile dysfunction. And I've always used the mantra, you can always rise again, just like a phoenix rising from the ashes. Never give up hope. You can, no matter what the circumstance, even if nothing's happened for 20 years, whether it's first-line therapy, second-line, third, or fourth, we can always get you to rise again. So there are too many men living an empty life, a shell of their former self, withdrawn from society, depressed, because they're not able to perform or achieve their glory that they had in their youth. And you don't know, never have to say goodbye to those golden years. In fact, when you have your retirement years, you have more time to play. You can play and be at your utmost. So even if you're, I always say, even with nothing happening, dead as a doornail, you can go from being a stud to a dud, from a dud to a stud. So please listen to what I have to say in terms of we need to treat the root cause of erectile dysfunction. It's not for you to go to your gas station attendant and ask for something that's completely unregulated, or borrowing a blue pill from your friend or your cousin. We need to figure out why we have an issue with erectile dysfunction, and there are many causes for it. Why do you think, Dr. Francis, men are so reserved and are so bashful and don't want to seek help, particularly when something so important to their way of life as erectile function?
Well, I mean, I think men that... A man wants to feel like he could perform, just bottom line, right? And when you can't, obviously there's a sense of shame in that. There's a sense of embarrassment. And so then, you know, men tend to get behave in funny ways, right? Now, as long as the anatomy is there and all of this erectile dysfunction is really a physiologic issue, meaning... It can be fixed. And, you know, you're a urologist. This is your specialty here, not mine. And you're here to let them know all of the ways that it can be fixed. But as long as you have the anatomy right, you have blood vessels, you have nerves, and this is what lead to an erection. When you have anything that affects the blood vessels or affects the nerves... And nerves can be affected either with emotions, because, you know, your brain can affect the signal going down.
Or even even pelvic surgery.
Right, or surgery a lot. I mean, I do a lot of rectal surgery, and sometimes that can, pelvic radiation, that can. But when that happens, that usually affects the anatomy. But I think a lot of what men encounter is not anatomical issues, it's more physiological issues, and they can be due to chronic health disease. And I think this is some of the things that you want to highlight. And a lot of these things are preventable.
Very much so, yes.
Right. And so outline for us, how could a man prevent this and then stay healthy, maintain it? And then if you lose it, how can you get it back? Because I think that's the thing that most men want to know.
Well, there's a saying that erectile dysfunction is like the canary in the coal shaft. So in years gone by, 1700s, 1800s, to determine whether it was safe to send down the coal miners into the shafts, they would send down a canary to determine whether this carbon monoxide poisoning is a hazard or not. So, and it's like a engine check light on your car, where erectile dysfunction can be a manifestation of things that are brewing that can be a travesty later in life, such as cardiovascular disease. So I'll put it in terms of simply, for example, for blood supply. So erectile function is a complex interplay of many things. We need the blood supply, we need the nerve supply, we need the hormonal component, which is testosterone, and then you can never underplay the emotional, psychological, the mental component as well, because even if physiologically everything is fine, but if there's a mental block, nothing's going to work. And it's also can be self-defeating. Even if it happened once where you've failed yourself, you're going to overthink it the next time.
Anxiety, yeah.
Yeah, and that's going to be self-defeating. All of a sudden, you're going to think, oh, is my spouse think I'm not a man anymore? Does she think that I have a sweetheart? I don't. Does she think that I feel that she's fat and unattractive? So all these things are playing on your mind, and you can't relax, and that anxiety and performance anxiety is going to be self-defeating. So you need to know that it happens to everyone, and that as many as 30 to 35% of men over the age of 40 are going to have some form of erectile dysfunction in their lifetime. But it can be an early warning, a sign of something sinister going on, which can actually save your life if you seek help. For example, there's a strong correlation and link between cardiovascular disease, coronary artery disease, and erectile dysfunction. The smaller blood vessels that supply your male member are going to be affected by plaques, atherosclerosis, many years before the larger carotid arteries that supply the brain or the larger coronary arteries that supply the heart. So if we know that your smaller blood vessels are being affected maybe 5-8 years before the bigger blood vessels are going to affect your heart and your stroke, we can modify your diet. We can make sure that if you do have high cholesterol, we can treat that. We can determine whether you have diabetes or hypertension that's leading to vascular issues related to your erection. So staying at home is a tragedy in itself because no one needs to suffer needlessly, but it also can be it's almost like a volcano that's going to erupt, and you can stop it from erupting by seeking erectile dysfunction confidential and comprehensive care. And any physician in this country, confidentiality is the cornerstone of their practice. There's no need to feel any embarrassment. If you're going to tell me that you have premature ejaculation, I've heard it once, 10,000 times, 15,000 times. The first thing I'm going to say is, how are we going to get a solution together? And it can be. So the number one erectile dysfunction is actually premature ejaculation, which 1 in 3 men in this world are going to face. So it's overwhelming. Don't feel that you're alone. That's the most important thing. And don't go 5 years, 10 years, or even 5 months.
So, Greg, I just want, just for the lay public out there, right? I mean, can you define what is premature ejaculation?
So that it depends on the individual. There's no set time. It's basically reaching orgasm, ejaculating before you're satisfied or your partner is satisfied. So technically, for some men, obviously they'll think automatically 2 minutes, 1 minute. But some men are not happy with 20 minutes. So by definition, that means that is premature ejaculation. or the partner's not happy with 15 minutes.
So you're saying it's a very subjective thing.
It is very subjective, okay. And it's based on the individual and their partner.
So,
but for the most part, we're talking about men who are unhappy because 1 minute they're done. Usually in middle age, there's a refractory period where they got to wait another 40 minutes, hour to try again, and then it's 1 minute again. So we can go from 1 minute man to becoming a marathon Olympic gold medalist. There's a way. Stop suffering needlessly.
You show up with that Olympic gold medal, though. I mean, let's.
Well, let's. You can strive for it. Let's go to the other end of the spectrum where the spouse is saying, "Okay, that's enough. That's enough. I think that's the goal. Let's taper it down. Not the. You know what? We're done before it starts."
So it's all subjective. So it's about satisfaction. I mean, between the two couples. So I think it's an intimate thing. So how much of premature ejaculation or the treatment that you offer involves the spouse or the partner?
Well, obviously, in anything related to medicine, you want to have supportive family members around you because you're not going to go through it alone.
But how much fellas has come to you, Greg, and bring their wives with them to say this is a problem? I mean, realistically, in the Bahamas, how many guys do that?
I would say at least a third of the cases, the wife is in the room with them, and they're the ones doing most of the speaking.
Okay, so the guys don't speak.
Well, no, they're very reticent in giving the history, and it's the wife who's forthcoming. But as long as we get to the goal of finding a solution, it doesn't matter who brought them there, whether it's the wife who made the phone call or the girlfriend who made the appointment, or they're in the room or outside in the waiting room. Let's just get a solution.
So the first thing is to admit that there's a problem and recognize that there's a problem, really, right?
There's no need to suffer needlessly.
Because every problem has a solution.
Very much so. And it might be a sign of something more going on. So you're going to, one organ is failing. If you leave it for too long, it's going to be your kidney, neck, your heart.
You said something interesting about how, the penile vessels tend to have plaque far more than the heart vessels or the brain vessels. And so think about that. I mean, erectile dysfunction could be an early warning sign that you can get a heart attack or a stroke later on down in life. Now, I know men more concerned about the erectile dysfunction. And so it's something that you shouldn't hide or not seek attention for, because this can be something that'll actually get you save your life in the long term, getting that dealt with, because it can uncover a significant underlying problem.
It can save your life. So seeking erectile dysfunction help can actually save your life and save yourself. So you'll not have to be walking around like an empty shell and feel like you're an embarrassment to yourself and feel like less than a man. You can regain your self-confidence, your happiness, your fulfillment. On top of that, you very well could save yourself from having a heart attack or a stroke 12, 15 years down the road.
So, Greg, one other thing. I mean, fellas talk, right? And guys always have a story. How much do you find that peer pressure influences men and, seeking alternative methods and not coming to get it checked up medically? Because, you hear your boys say they do this, they do that, and, men love to talk, right? And how much of that either prevents men from seeking or have them seek alternative methods that may not be so healthy for them?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of men will only seek help in my practice after those unregulated, what we'll call as supplements, because if you call them a supplement, they don't have to go through FDA trials. So you take it at your business, unregulated sex enhancement drugs and medication, and they make them as cheap as possible. A lot of them will have lead chips in them, sawdust. They'll have an accurate ingredient that will be in common with Viagra or Cialis. So yes, you will get the erection, but as I said at the onset of this talk, you need to treat the root cause, because even if you get that pill to get you an erection for 6 months, 9 months, a year, the overwhelming problem is going to become such a problem that even that pill can no longer help you. And men have this thought that, I've been my body's gotten accustomed to it, or I need a stronger dose. No, it's because that you didn't come in, and the diabetes that's causing havoc to all of your organs has overwhelmed the system and your nerves and your blood supply, that even that pill can't help you.
Yeah, that's an important thing. And this is, again, how education becomes important in saving the lives of men. And women ought to appreciate that, too. That I don't think that these are easy conversations, Dr. Pinto. How do you speak to your patients about having this conversation with either their spouse, an open up conversation with the spouse, or even with their family doctor? I mean, by the time they come to you, obviously it's a real problem. But what about having this conversation with their family physician?
A few months ago, I had the pleasure of speaking at Bahamas Faith Ministries, where they actually had outreach and invited me to speak on this topic just to couples. So couples right. came there, they had a couples dinner, and it was very well received. And I think I touched the lives of many couples at that meeting, and then even referrals later that people, word of mouth, have brought couples to see me to get them. So I think dialogue is very important. Knowing that, I think a man will seek help if they know that they will rise again. And I keep saying that no matter what, we will find a way to get you to rise again.
A man will seek help if, and I hate to use this term, but I mean, when a man thinks that it's a safe place to seek help, right?
Very much so.
When a man feels psychologically safe. Because, I mean, again, if a man doesn't feel safe to talk about these things, and I'm sure that men don't talk about this as much as they should.
So no matter what reason a man comes to see me, I'm going to ask them, as a urologist, is there anything I can do to help with your erections? If they came for me for kidney stones, if they came for me for
And that's
anything.
Probably the main reason why they came.
Very much so. They may be talking right. about something else, or maybe have a tinge of burning when I pee. But that was 6 years ago. But and then I said, what about erection? Oh, yeah. What can you do for me, doc? But the most important thing is that men are stubborn. And they don't, even when you determine what is the cause of their erectile dysfunction, they like to play it off. Don't put that on me. No, I run every day. I can't have high blood pressure. No. Yeah, they told me 5 years ago that I'm a diabetic, but I only take my medication when my eyesight becomes blurry and I feel like I'm going to be passing out. And I said, do you hear what you're saying? You know, you're doing untold harm to yourself that cannot be reversed just if you take a medication. And then there'll be the counter that, you know what, my uncle took a high blood pressure medication and it caused him never to rise again and it was worse than before. Yes, I'll be the first to acknowledge, and any physician will, that there are certain classes of antihypertensive blood pressure medications that, yes, for some select individuals, erections are going to be impaired. So what is the answer? Not to take the medication and have uncontrolled blood pressure, which is a silent killer, rob you of 20 years on this life, and then have worsening erectile dysfunction? No. Tell your physician, tell your urologist, we'll change the medication. There's so many classes of high blood pressure medications, alpha blockers, beta blockers, calcium channel antagonists. You can have diuretics or a mixture of those. So we can find that medication that keeps your blood pressure perfectly controlled and it doesn't negatively impact your erections.
So I think also, Gregory, I think we as physicians have a responsibility to men, especially primary care physicians who do put people on or patients on blood pressure medication, to say, listen, this may be a problem. Let's be open. Let's talk about it. You know, if it's a problem, don't just stop your medication. Let's have the conversation so that maybe we can make some adjustments.
Very much so. Right? So you have to be preemptive and for any medication you're going to prescribe, what are the possible side effects? Even if it's very unlikely, we need to make patients aware that this can negatively impact them so that they're watchful for those side effects. We'll be back after the break and we're going to continue this fascinating talk about erectile dysfunction and always rising again. Thank you for tuning in to The Urologist Speaks.
Bueller. Patrol again. Can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas. And everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Mommy, guess what I did in school today?
Hold on, sweetie. Mommy's sending a text.
But Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, look, Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts.
Brought to you by UB Radio and Guardian Radio 96.9.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to The Urologist Speaks with Dr. Gregory Pinto and my guest host, Dr. Wesley Francis, surgical oncologist and general surgeon. We'd love to hear 232 or 325-4316 or 326-4259 or call us toll-free from the Family Islands at 242-300-5720. Okay, so we're talking about erectile dysfunction, which is a very important topic for many men and women, the nation as a whole. We also need to talk about, and this is a topic in itself, erectile dysfunction affects men, obviously, but we also don't talk enough about female sexual dysfunction, which is a actual medical terminology, where as many as 30 to 50% of women worldwide actually have female sexual dysfunction, and that can manifest in many ways. That can manifest in terms of low sexual arousal, disorder. It can have manifest in terms of orgasmic disorder, or it can be dyspareunia, which is painful sexual intercourse, which many women, as they get older and have less estrogen and less lubrication, actually find the act very painful. So we need to have an open dialogue where gynecologists, urologists can also help women, because even if a man, we can get them up and ready, and the long-term partner isn't able to up to the task, that's a problem. That's a problem. And we don't want them to seek help elsewhere. So let's keep this in the family. So another thing that's been a pandemic since the invent of internet, unfortunately, has been, even for young people, has been porn-induced erectile dysfunction, where men are actually rewiring their arousal center in their brain, where they require actual visual pornography to achieve an erection and to achieve orgasm. And when you can have the interplay with a partner, they are unable to achieve an erection, which is a serious issue. So we need to address many things. As I say, erectile dysfunction, we can be speaking for 5 hours. Yeah. It's a very complex topic, but the take-home message is, please, whatever is plaguing you, do not suffer needlessly. There's no need to suffer needlessly. We could always rectify the situation. If you want to be a marathon man, we can make you a marathon man. If you want to last longer, we can last longer. Even if you've had uncontrolled diabetes for 25 years and there's no nerve supply and blood supply and you think you're dead in the water, we can give you a bionic penile implant that can get you rising with a little push of a button all day, all long, all day, all night if you want. And you could be 25% wider and 25% longer than you ever were. So you can actually regain your glory and be even greater than you ever were, even if you've had tragedy of never rising for many years. So never give up hope.
And I think what's important, Greg, is for people to understand that education is important and recognize the role that erectile dysfunction plays in overall health and how it could be an early sign of underlying problems. You can give a guy who a bionic penis who has cardiac and real bad diabetes, and he can go for hours, but his heart can't handle all of that, right? So I think it's the overall men's health. And men have to first understand and recognize that we have to be able to talk about this. And you're not less of a man just because you're having some dysfunction. It's a disorder that can be fixed. It's a problem that can be solved. And if it's a real issue, issues can be managed. Solutions to many problems. And if it's a major issue, certainly can be managed. And I think men have to take responsibility for their overall health. And sex is important for men and women. And that is a part of a healthy adult. And so we take this time to encourage men to then look at their overall health, checking their PSAs, looking at screening for colon cancer. All of that is important. High blood pressure kills a lot more men and women in the country, and it's a silent killer. So all of these things, we have NHI, we have certain access, but people just don't utilize it sufficiently. And I think that's important that we want to focus on and let people know.
Knowledge is key.
Yeah.
Never suffer in silence. Let me just read a text that came in. Doc, I had blood in my semen. Is that a concern? It can be horrifying. Unfortunately, it happens to a lot of men. In fact, I wrote an article in the NASA Guardian many months ago, and I actually had the topic, and I said the horror of bloody semen. And it is horrific. You can imagine how horrific it could be for the man and for the woman.
Absolutely.
And it happens. In many cases, it's very innocuous. It's a benign cause. It's related to your prostate having a very vascular blood supply, and it may just mean a rupture of one of the capillaries. The prostate gland actually contributes some of the fluid in your ejaculate. So all it takes is one little small blood vessel to rupture and cause blood to be in your ejaculate. And then you can even have blood in your urine afterwards. It's not something for you to ignore. A one-off thing, maybe you can watch it, but if it happens more than once, you just come into urologist and at least seek some solace, and we'll figure out what's going on so you don't have to have that horror. Because you can imagine if it happens once, you're going to be horrified every single time. And that in itself can cause erectile dysfunction. If you think you're going to ejaculate, all you're going to see is blood everywhere. So everything happens to everyone at some point. You're never alone.
What about semen volume, Greg? I mean, a lot of men, I think, suffer in silence with that, or they worry about, for example, you know, they don't climax, or they don't see enough semen, or nothing comes out. What about that?
I mean, that can be a side effect of many medications, many common medications, even medications such as alpha blockers, such as Tamsulosin or Flomax that we give to tens of thousands of men in this country for benign prostate hyperplasia, where you're going to have irritative or obstructive urinary symptoms, waking up in the night to pee, weak flow, not making it to the bathroom in time. And that, unfortunately, can cause retrograde ejaculation, where not all of the ejaculate comes out and goes forward. Some of it harmlessly goes up back into the bladder, and which is harmless, and you just pee it out afterwards. So the only harm it can be is, obviously, it can somewhat reduce your fertility because not all the sperm and ejaculate is going forward. But there are many things that can cause it. If you've had radiation, it can affect the nerves. That can cause either an ejaculation where you're not ejaculating, or it can cause some form of retrograde ejaculation. So there are dozens of causes for it, but the most important thing is do not be concerned. If it's something that is worrying you, as we age, our testosterone level starts to fall, particularly from the age of 40, at least 1 to 3% per year. Low testosterone can also contribute to you having less sperm production as well.
So, Greg, speak about testosterone. You know, there's also a lot of testosterone supplements out there, and it's an oral form. I mean, how does that, is that very effective? Because you see these things always being broadcast. Is that effective?
So the medical terminology is hypogonadism, and then you have to determine, is it primary hypogonadism or secondary hypogonadism? I won't get into all of that, but essentially, every man is going to have some decrease in their testosterone level throughout their aging process. That's just inevitable. Some people start at a lower level than others, so they're going to be more symptomatic because they were barely on the normal range, and all of a sudden, any little drop, they're going to be very symptomatic. And the first thing you're going to think of, oh, your erections are poor or your sexual drive is poor. Yes, but it also kind of manifests in terms of you putting on 50 pounds all of a sudden, having a beer belly when you don't drink beer. All of a sudden, you're developing man boobs or you have a lack of energy. It can affect your personality. You can be irritable. You can be depressed. You can have a lack of interest in things you used to love to do. You may not be aware of it, but those around you at work, your family members, your spouse can say that you become a different person. You become withdrawn. And even more so for being men, they're going to be even more withdrawn if their erections are failing them and they're 50 pounds overweight. And then we talk about the link between low testosterone and obstructive sleep apnea. Mm. That's a pandemic in this country. Not only do most men and women don't realize that testosterone is an entity, and it's an important hormone, even has a role for women. But obstructive sleep apnea affects too many of our male and female persons throughout the country. And it's disastrous because you're not getting that deep sleep, rapid eye movement sleep, which is the time where you dream. It's also the time where you replenish the testosterone that you use throughout the day. And when you have low testosterone, it makes the sleep apnea worse, which makes the obesity worse, and it's just a vicious cycle.
I have all these problems, Greg. Can I go to a vitamin shop and just pick up some testosterone and use it all?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so tell me, how do I do that? Yes.
As I always say, you treat the root cause. If your low testosterone is because of obstructive sleep apnea, we got to treat the obstructive sleep apnea.
So what about all these commercials saying, you know, I take this and I'm happy and there's all these things?
Well, what is the end effect? What are you trying to sell? You're trying to sell sexual prowess. You're trying to sell youth. It's a billion-dollar business. So obviously you're going to have every sports celebrity out there saying that you feel like a 25-year-old again. Right. But we have to talk about the reality. If you got sleep apnea causing your testosterone to fall every single night and you're not getting a deep sleep, even if you sleep 10 hours, you can feel like you slept 3 hours. You could literally wake up more fatigued than when you first went to sleep. You could wake up with a headache.
So this is why it's important to have that relationship with your physician, right?
Very much
so. And have an open conversation and talk about these things. Because, again, there are problems that can be solved.
And you know your body. You know that you're slowing down. You know that you're losing muscle mass, that you don't have to shave as often as you used to. That might be a sign of low testosterone. You're losing hair on your arms or your legs. Your sexual drive is very poor. That can be a manifestation of obstructive sleep apnea that can lead to obesity, that can lead to low testosterone, that can lead to a syndrome called metabolic syndrome, where if you don't have diabetes or hypertension or high cholesterol, you can manifest it later in life. Or if you do, it's more difficult to control. So you can literally feel 25 years older than your chronological age, which is disastrous. You only have one life to live and so many years to live. Let's live our best life for as long as possible.
So overall health then becomes that important. And again, I just want to reiterate that there's a lot of access to health in the country. And people just have to utilize it.
Very much so.
You know, we're fortunate to have NHI. And I think more and more people need to utilize it. And people who have their private health insurance, a lot of people don't access their primary care, even with their private health insurance. They only use it for when it is that something's broken down or they're sick, and that's when they go. But preventive health is important. And just primary care and having that relationship with your primary care, that's what's most important to getting you to the healthier you and recognizing all of these problems that can be solved.
And I think that's what we're doing here. We're trying to provide a community service to be proactive, to emphasize preventative medicine. Let's not be reactionary. Let's not say, all right, you're a diabetic. Let's get you to see a dietitian. Let's put you on the prescribed medication. Let's prevent you from the age of 11 by eating right, by having a healthy mindset, by getting exercise, and preventing you from becoming a diabetic.
Right. And you know, that's good with prevention, and people can always turn around. I think a lot of times, Greg, we actually are at the bottom of the river picking up the bodies when all the problems have an up. Upstream is that primary care, that prevention, and I think we need to focus a whole lot more on that. Diet, exercise, sleep, that's important, family. And this is which leads to healthier communities, and healthy individuals lead to healthy communities, healthy country. And I think that's what's important. And people need to be able to access these care. It's there. It's available. Use it.
Yes, very much so. I think it's time for me to take another text message. This is from a woman. I'm glad women are also listening. So urologists see women, men in equal numbers. And I always will have a topic. I think maybe my third show will be about women and women's urological health, particularly related to bladder issues where women have overactive bladder. 1 in 3 women are going to have overactive bladder. We're going to have stress incontinence. They always say that a woman who can laugh, cough, sneeze, and pee at all at the same time, there's something wrong. You don't need to have the panty liner. You don't have to have the panty shield. Worse yet, you definitely don't need to be on the adult pull-ups. Don't let the bladder control your life. Regain control of your bladder. Regain control of your happiness. A man shouldn't be driving with a cup he has to urinate into. A woman definitely shouldn't be sleeping with a bucket because she can't even bother to walk to the bathroom because she has to urinate every 30 minutes. So that has become your norm. It's very abnormal. Let's get back control of your bladder. So this text is, thank you, Doc. You did restore my man's manhood. You've got him to lose 20 pounds, but unfortunately, he's killing me. What can you do for me? I hear that a lot. And as women get older, it's usual that obviously when you go through menopause, you're going to have a lot of hormonal issues. You're going to be prone to irritability. You're going to be prone to depression. You're going to put on a little bit of weight. You're not going to be as self-confident sexually as you used to. And then just naturally, you're not going to provide as much lubrication. So there are specific water-based lubricants that older couples can use that can bring back their vibrance and enjoy their golden years together. Okay, we're going to another break. Thank you again for joining us. We're going to wrap up. We'll be speaking next week about prostate cancer awareness and the plague of a prostate cancer killing 90 to 100 of our Bahamian men in residence every single year with a disease that is very preventable. Prostate cancer should not be killing any of us. So stay tuned next week, and thank you for joining me. And thank you very much for my co-host, who I hope will be here next week,
Dr.
Wesley Francis.
Good night, Bahamas.
Good night.